Session number 21294, Real One.
Harry Cliff, Real One, where were you born, please?
Warrington.
Which year was this?
1920.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Warrington?
Yes.
Which school did you go to?
I went to Evelyn Street School.
How old were you when you finished there?
14.
So that was 34.
1934, yeah.
Did you get a job?
Oh, yes, I got a job almost immediately as a van boy at the local co-op, delivery boy.
Is that what you were doing when war broke out?
Yeah, well, when war broke out, I progressed into a shop, into one of the co-op shops.
How did you feel about the news that war had broken out?
Well, I don't know, it didn't really have any effect until I was called up.
Were you in any bombing by the German Air Force before you were called up?
Not before I was called up, no. I was called up fairly early, 1940. We didn't have any bombing before then, not in Warrington.
Did you have any choice as to which service you went into?
Yes, I opted for the Navy and was accepted.
What happened then?
Well, I had to go for the medical and pass that okay. Eventually I was called up and went to HMS Raleigh at Tor Point for 10 weeks training.
What was that like?
Rough, but a good grounding for what was to come.
In what way was it rough?
Discipline and I don't know, discipline and preparedness for the rough life that followed.
How did the people in charge treat you?
Very good, as long as you abided by the discipline and instructions, you're okay. I got on well, but when I finished during the 10 week training at Raleigh, the system was for a long weekend leave halfway through. But because so many were coming back adrift off this weekend leave, the weekend I was due to go, it was stopped. So I didn't get my mid-training leave. And then from there, from at the end of the training, I was transferred to HMS Drake at Plymouth, which then became my depot for the rest of the war. And I was immediately drafted out to a barrage vessel in Plymouth Sound. It was just an anti-aircraft ship that was moored just off the coastline, and was part of the anti-aircraft defence of Plymouth. But I was only on that for a few weeks.
Do you remember its name? Do you remember its name?
HMBV7. It didn't have a name. BV7.
BV?
BV7.
Barrage vessel.
Barrage vessels. Mm.
What kind of duties did you have in that?
Gunnery. That's all it was for. colour, and, you know, brass clear and in between.
Did you fire a gun?
Oh yes, we had several practice shoots, and during the 2 or 3 weeks I was on it, we didn't have an air raid, so it wasn't fired in anger from that ship. There were only small anti-aircraft guns that were on it. And from there, actually, this BV-7 was considered part of the depot, you see, at Plymouth, right? So I was recalled into depot for a draft to a destroyer. That was HMS Fame, which I joined in Rosyth.
What impression did the ship make on you at first?
Pardon?
What impression did the ship make on you?
Well, a destroyer just life on a destroyer is rough anyway, and for that to be my first real ship. When I joined it, it had come out of dock after repairs. It had been damaged at Norway, and just come out of dock after repairs when I joined it. And of course, they had to do trials in the force. And of course, these trials went on for about a week, and they all but turned the thing over. And that was my first experience of life afloat in the Navy.
How was it nearly capsized?
Well, the manoeuvres, they had to, you know, take it through all the manoeuvres at full speed and all that. And of course, novices like me, when you join a ship, you know, you get all the... the jobs that nobody else wants, if you like. And my first job was lookout. But the lookout was at the top of the masthead. So there's no sympathy, you know, you just have to go and do it. You climb up this masthead ladder and drop in the cockpit at the top, and there you stay until you're relieved. But for about 3 days, I was in a trance, you might say, with this. It was seasickness without being sick. And it was the worst kind. But after 3 days of that, I gradually settled down. And ever since then, it's never bothered me at all.
Were you nervous up at that height?
Oh, yes. I was nervous getting up there, because I had to get right to the top and then drop down into the cockpit. But then, so we left on our first first trip from Rosyth, and it was to go down the east coast to the River Tyne to escort a battleship. King George V battleship was ready for fitting. It had been built on the Tyne, but it was ready for moving down south somewhere, Chatham or somewhere, for fitting up. and we were to escort this down to Chatham. A flotilla of destroyers. Fame was flotilla leader. We're sailing down the east coast at 26 knots. Supposed to be going up the River Tyne. And we were lower down the coast than the River Tyne. So we finished up on the rocks. And out of 7 destroyers, we went full on, full belt onto the rocks, and the next one came on alongside us. The 3rd and 4th swung round, damaged the screws, and out of 7 destroyers, there were only 3 left, seaworthy. And it took 2 months to get the Fame off these rocks. It had ploughed into the rocks. And we had to wait for 2 high tides. The first high tide was a failure, so we had to wait for the next one. And during that 2 months, we were employed stripping the ship completely of anything that would move to reduce the weight. All the armament was taken off. It was all done by Breach's boy. In fact, when we hit the rocks in the first place, the engine room was on fire, causing a lot of hissing and noise, smoke. I believe ashore they thought it was an invasion. Had the home guard out and everything. But then eventually the fire brigade arrived and they got some hose pipes over and just put them down the funnel. Meanwhile, I was in a working party that had to empty the magazine, which was next door to the engine room. And so we were knee deep in oil, handballing this ammunition up and over the side before the fire got to it. And so eventually we were taken off by Breach's boy, and actually we were behind an old army rifle range where there were still some wooden huts that hadn't been used since the First World War. But we were billeted in these huts then for 2 months while they salvaged whatever they could. And eventually when the ship was towed off, it was just a shell, and it was taken down south and rebuilt. And it was rebuilt and commissioned again in 6 months. That was the Fame destroyer.
Which village or town were these huts near?
Whitburn, near Sunderland.
What were you doing when the Fame went aground?
I was in my hammock, actually, it was during the night. And I, of course, in a destroyer, you just sling your hammock wherever you can find a space. And the only space I could find, being a latecomer to the crew kind of thing, the only space I could get was over a hatch, over the stoker's mess deck. And when we hit these rocks, I finished up, I tumbled out of my hammock down the ladder, you know. Damaged my knee, but it was okay, it turned out to be okay. But then they'd taken most of the crew off by Breeches by. There was just this working party to empty the magazine that was kept back. And eventually we got off as well. And we got to this these big huts, these big army huts, and one was the old galley. And they had a big vat of pusses, cocoa, and corned beef sandwiches, about 2 inches thick, you know. And I never enjoyed corned beef so much in my life. So when they got the fame away, we were, of course, transferred back to Depot, Plymouth, back to Drake, you see. And that was it for the fame. And then, only then, did I get my first leave from when I joined up. Had a week's leave, back to Depot. And then is when I was sent to ACLA. And the Heckler had just been commissioned on the Clyde. So we left Plymouth. We got on the train in Plymouth Barracks and we got off on the quayside at Greenock. Gorock. And the Heckler was moored midstream.
What kind of ship was Heckler?
Heckler was a big destroyer depot ship. Sorry. Tons, I think. But it was like a floating dockyard, Heckler was. They could do any work, they could repair any destroyers, escort ships, alongside that could be done in a dockyard.
What was your job aboard?
Well, I was just seaman gunner.
What was your action station?
Action station was my the forward turret, 4-inch guns, 4.5s. Of course, Heckler wasn't built as a fighting ship. It was more the armament was more for defence, ACAC, you see, and it certainly proved to be the right sort of armament. Because as a depot ship, it was always a good target for enemy action. And in fact, when we were moored in the Clyde, there was a blitz on the Clyde. And Greenock was absolutely flattened. So much that the Heckler had a bakery that could produce an awful lot of bread, and they supplied Greenock with bread for 4 days after the Blitz.
What did you see of the raid yourself?
Well, of course, we were closed up, ready to open fire, but we didn't open fire, I believe, because it would give away the position of the boat, you see. But a free French destroyer, which was not far away, was bombed and sunk. So we were lucky, really. But it wasn't long before we moved from there.
What could you see of the bombing of Greenock?
Well, it was all on fire. It was just just a huge bonfire. And of course, Greenock was the landing stage for our liberty boats. You see, we were using the harbour there to go ashore. But it was absolutely blitzed, rebuilt eventually, but there wasn't much left of it.
Were you concerned with the production of the bread?
No. No, that was the Cook's department. Actually, the ship was it was designed and built to maintain a full flotilla of destroyers for 6 months without seeing the shore. And the idea of it as a floating dockyard was to be based somewhere where there was no dock facilities, such as in the middle of the Indian Ocean or something like that. And act as a dockyard to the escort, the destroyers, which I believe we were bound when we left. Of course, first of all, when we left the Clyde, we went to Iceland. And we were moored in a fjord there at Iceland, doing all this work, servicing the Atlantic convoy escorts. And while we were there, the first U-boat that was captured intact was brought in alongside Akla before they brought it to the UK.
Did you see it?
Oh yeah, yes, I was on there. I went and walked around it before it left, you know. In fact, we were using German rations for a while on board ship, and things we'd never seen, cheese in tubes and hard rations, that sort of thing. But anyway, they moved U-boat over to the UK.
What were your impressions of the U-boat?
Well, I didn't think much about it really. It wasn't the sort of thing that I would have liked to be on. Very claustrophobic.
Very close to?
Claustrophobic, that's not my scene. While we were there in Iceland, Churchill called, came aboard. He'd been to see the American
Roosevelt
on the Prince of Wales, the Battleship Prince of Wales, and they called round to Iceland and he came aboard. Anyway, we were at Iceland for about 9 or 10 months, I should think. And
whereabouts in Iceland?
Hvalfjörð, it was called. It was near Reykjavik. Hvalfjörð.
What? Any memories about Churchill?
No, as a matter of fact, I don't remember seeing him at all. And I think it happened when I was on leave. They were organising leave parties from Iceland. You know, a few at a time were coming home on leave for a week. And the party I was in was one of the last. And it must have happened after I left on leave when Churchill came aboard. And when while I was home on leave, I got a telegram to report back to the naval office in Glasgow. As against the original returning pilot, I forget which it was, but I had to report to the naval officer at Glasgow, and when I got there, they said, Heckler's on its way home. And I joined it again when it got back in port in Dalmuir on the Clyde. And we did a 5-day refit in Dalmuir, which changed the ship from Arctic conditions to tropical. And then we left there in a convoy. Convoy WS-18 it was. Of course, we didn't know where we were going, but we headed for Freetown. A couple of days out, they announced destination Freetown. Short stop at Freetown, and the convoy carried on to South Africa. We're supposed to be on the way to Madagascar, I believe, where we're going to be operating with the East Indies Fleet. But going around the Cape, South Africa, we hit a mine. And this mine, it was a double tentacle mine, I think they call it, came up through the middle of the ship and almost blew it apart. But they managed to get us into Simonstown Dockyard, and it took 5 months to rebuild the middle of the ship.
Where were you when the mine went off?
I was on deck. I was up on, fortunately, I was on the upper deck, and as a matter of fact, I made my way. I was going down to the mess for something, and when I got to the mess hatch, they were just battening the thing down because it had flooded. The seaman's mess had flooded, and they battened the hatches. There was lads down there that couldn't get out. Fortunately, I wasn't down there, so we lost 24, were killed at that time. But then we had 5 months in dock. Quite a lot of the crew were put ashore and shore bases there. All the signalmen went to a signal school. And, but the seamen branch, more or less,